This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Alan Hahn. It's Bart Scott. We are Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And if you want to be a guest, be our guest. 800-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And, of course, you want to be part of the conversation on social media, at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram as well. And, Bart.
Happy Wednesday, Alan.
Happy Ash Wednesday.
Oh, it is.
I got my Fat Tuesday in.
You know, I'm a heathen. I don't know nothing about that. I'm a heathen.
Well, I'm just letting you know, for me, that's what it is today. I'll be getting my ashes after the show, and I have to now, of course, give up something for Lent. And you know what I'm going to give up?
What is that, Alan?
Hating on James Harden.
Oh, that is a big one for you, man. This is a milestone.
It's not easy.
Stop the press. What made you come to the light? What made you leave the dark side, you Sith Lord?
You know, and you've known me long enough to know that that is a difficult thing for me. Mm-hmm. Right? That is not something that I could, I have a difficult time with his game. But I tell you what, I didn't like Houston Harden. But I kind of like Brooklyn James.
I like how you switched that up, baby.
I gotta tell you, I think Brooklyn James.
He's more of
a facilitator.
I like
the way he balls, man. Listen, he was balling last night. The other two stars of the big three were sitting out last night.
They were playing in a back-to-back. Is it Kyrie Moses?
He had the walking stick. He had his walking stick last night.
Kyrie was walking like he was
73 years old. And he had that, you know, when the older you get, you start to get that sort of arthritic arch
back.
Yeah,
exactly. We call that the hunchback.
And he was holding this thing, just walking in as if he was Yoda.
Maybe he's preparing for Uncle Drew 3 or something. I don't know. Maybe that's what he was doing. But it's crazy. He walks around like he's Isaac Hayes, walking around like he's Black Moses, man. Like, come on, man. Stop it. You ain't part in the Red Sea. You ain't walking on water.
Yeah,
you
know. There is no try.
Alan, we two minutes in, Alan. And, we a newly married couple. You know what I mean? We still in the newlywed phase.
Are we? It's been over a year, man.
It's still newlywed.
We got our paper anniversary.
Okay, when did it all go down for you then in your marriage then?
Exactly.
So what I'm saying is the newlywed phase. When all of a sudden you didn't take the trash out. It was a problem. That's what I'm saying. So we still in our newlywed phase. So it don't matter if it's been a year. I'm sitting here and I'm in front of you. You haven't seen me in 24 hours and you haven't even noticed anything different. Because when you talk about your wife go get a new haircut. It's like, hey, honey, how you doing? You better know she got her hair cut.
Guess who got a haircut, Sonny? You're looking right at me.
Well, okay, that's what I'm saying. But what about you noticing me?
Your new headphones?
Can you hear me?
You're talking about, I see.
Do, re, mi, fa. You hear that? You hear all that. Ain't no check engine light on early.
You got some bass in your voice and
check
everything.
This out.
The new Comrex.
Listen, I lost the Zach Morris cell phone, and I got a Razor, baby. They didn't give me the iPhone 12. They didn't give me the 12. They gave me a flip phone Razor. They gave me the iPhone 5.
You're almost there.
I'm almost there. I mean, I'm not Stephen A. Stephen A. gets the new stuff. He gets the Elon Musk version of it.
Apparently, they actually run a hard line from Seaport all the way to Stephen A. in L.A. Like, they run it across the country. It's a hard – they plug it in. Stephen A. doesn't have to worry about Wi-Fi because they're just like, wait, it's Stephen A.
Yeah.
We're going to run this like it's – like, they're running this like Fios is running their cable.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, we're going across the country with this thing. That's what we're doing. So you don't have to worry about it. He doesn't have to worry about that, but you sound fantastic today.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing.
All right.
Now we can move on to Black Moses.
Right. And let's move on to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Listen, I am the first to admit, those around the country don't know this about me, but I have had major issue with James Harden and the way he played in Houston. I used to call it mumble rap. Because you knew, it was obviously in the genre, but it was just awful. And people seemed to like it, but not everybody. And it was annoying. He would hunt for fouls, flailing and flopping, taking way too many damn threes. Okay. Just like, and then obviously when it's winning time, he would pick on the bad teams And then obviously the good teams, all of a sudden, like, you'd have some issue. Like, it used to drive me crazy. But I'm watching Brooklyn James last night. Brooklyn James doesn't miss games. Brooklyn James doesn't know load management, Bart.
Right. Well, he's never been a fan of load management. That's one
That's
thing
right.
you can
he
say
wants
about,
the ball.
About the beard. He always yeah. shows up, no matter how fat you think he is, especially early in the season. Like I said, he was trying to get out, and he really was in team meetings and watching and paying attention to his playbook when he was at the strip club in Houston. It's not his fault that he had bad teammates. But I would have asked you this then, because I think he still gets to the line. I think he still facilitates.
Well, remember, let me just give you the stats from last night. I'll give you the stats from last night. Then you're going to ask me that question. The Nets were down by 24 points in this game. They're down 21 at the half. And you have every reason to lose to what was it's been a very good Phoenix Suns team that was on a homestand where they won all the first six games. And they were rolling. No answer for Devin Booker. Again, no Kyrie, decided to take the night off. KD has the 2 days that he had now with the hamstring. So this was the second game of the two he was supposed to miss with the hamstring strain after coming back from COVID protocol. So it was all up to James Harden by himself to see if he can will them to a win. Down 20 to half, you're like, all right.
Roscoe,
you know, you figured this was going to happen. I'm sure TNT loved it, having a game like that. But then all of a sudden, Brooklyn James like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to lose this game. And he went off, and he had a great finish, and Devin Booker disappeared in the fourth quarter. Usually it's the other way around. Usually it's Harden that has like the great first three quarters, and then he goes bye-bye in the fourth quarter. Harden went for 38 and 11 assists, 7 rebounds, only 2 turnovers, and the ball was in this dude's hand the entire second half. 14 of 22 in 37 minutes. And by the way, only, and I say only because it's today's NBA, 5 of 11 from 3. Took 11 threes, but that's like most guys are shooting 8 to 10 like per game, the good three-point shooters. 5-11. Free throw line, 5 of 5.
Right.
He's not hunting for fouls. He wasn't at the free throw line 15, 20 times, whatever it was, just, you know, flopping and flailing and getting calls. He played basketball. And I'll say this even more now. When he became the point guard of this team, which is, I guess, Kyrie told the world because he had to tell people.
You are the captain now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I allowed him to do this. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you, Kyrie. Harden, to me, has become such a complete player that he's the linchpin to their championship ability, in my opinion, Bart.
But I would ask you this, though, and this is what I really wanted to ask you, because he's always been able to fill up the stat sheet.
Good point. You know,
are you saying that this James Harden, maybe because he has more trust in his teammates, that he knows when to facilitate and when to take a step back, like great players do, right? We see that early on, right? We all watched The Last Dance. Michael Jordan's like, hey, man, you can lead the team and you can lead the league in scoring, but it's about getting Kerr involved. It's about getting Horace Grant confident and building his confidence. So I feel like James Harden, when you watch him in the first quarter, you know, he was facilitating his pace and his timing. You can say whatever you want. This guy doesn't get sped up unless he wants to.
Yes, right?
He never gets the ball and just stars a fast break. He literally walks the ball up and gets into half-court offense almost every time. But I think the difference is he respects the players that he plays with and their ability and their basketball acumen. So he feels like he's finally playing with somebody that's on his level, so he doesn't mind stepping back and letting them shine because he understands that they're capable of getting it done. I feel like when he was in Houston, you heard what he said when he left. He said he was tired. And if you look at a guy that was putting so much pressure on himself, we talk about LeBron and how many minutes he's maybe going to have to play, you know, with AD being out.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Harden used to do every day, every game with Houston, and I feel like he would just burn out at the end of the season. You know, now he feels like he can pick his spots and he can pace himself. But I would ask you this. We had two Hall of Famers in that game. And I'm not talking about Devin Booker. You know, his story is yet to be written. You have Chris Paul on one side. You have James Harden on the other. I want to ask you, who is a title more important to for their legacy? Because for everything that Chris Paul has done in his career, he went a long time without being able to win a playoff series. He hasn't been able to lead a team. He's been with other great players. And we give Chris Paul a pass. But we're so hard on James Harden because we don't like the way that he plays. We don't like the fact that we don't consider him a true leader. But if he gets this title this year and potentially a title next year, you got to start talking about this guy up like – near the Mount Rushmore. Like, this guy has done things that guys have never done.
I need Harden
for the
now.
Last you 5 years in Houston. The numbers that this guy put up is ridiculous.
You are right. You are right about that. And 888 say ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get the call. We'll get the calls rolling here, because I do want to see, I want to hear from around the country about James Harden and see if, am I the only one that thinks this of his game? And by the way, am I the only one that now sees the difference in what he's doing now with Brooklyn? But you are right in that case. But that's what's left now for Harden, because he did, and that's why I think what has changed with his mentality since he's joined this team. It's now for him, I've done all the stat thing. I've had triple doubles, a million of them. I've had all kinds of, I've scored, you know, 50, 60 in a game. I've done all that
stuff.
He should
be a three-time MVP.
He's had all that stuff, and the thing that's missing now for him is winning a championship. It's Oscar Robertson joining with Lou Alcindor and winning in Milwaukee. It's sort of like that. It's sort of the, because, you know, Oscar Robertson tells this great story. And I'm going now in the Wayback Machine. Yeah. Let's hop in the hot tub time machine right now if we could. Let's just jump right in. The water's warm. What do you got the hot tub at? About 101? Would you say 101, right? In the wintertime, your hair freezes.
I'm trying to lose weight in the hot tub, too. So this is what works for two. I'm trying
to get dehydrated. I need Pedialyte after. Oh, yeah.
I need Pedialyte when I get out of my hot tub.
You got to go about 101, 102 in the winter for sure. But so we're in the hot tub time machine. Let's go back. And when Oscar Robertson played for the it was the Cincinnati Royals, Kansas City Royals, right? He just felt like he never was respected. He got all these stats and all that stuff, and it never really he never really was respected for what he could do. The franchise wasn't doing the right things, trying to build around him, all that stuff. And he goes to Milwaukee later in his career. And it was like, oh, you can't. He's not a winner. You're not going to win with him. Right. You can't win with him. And he heard all that stuff, and it bothered him. And he goes to Milwaukee, and what'd they do? They won. They won big. And I think that's James Harden. That's where he is right now. It's the same thing. It's the same story as Oscar Robertson. And that's what I think we're going to see from him. And that's what I think you're right. So what do we now need to see from James Harden? In the big moment, in the big spot. Not now, not regular season. What he did last night against Phoenix, that's nice. But we know with James Harden, we need to see this part let's see how the season's going to go. We always say in May and June, but that's obviously not where we're going to have the finals and the playoffs. We need to see it in the conference finals, in the NBA finals. We need to see it when it matters most, when you're going up against, when there's adversity, when the Miami Heat are putting bodies on you and beating the crap out of you and just trying to wear you down, when they take Kyrie out of the game because Kyrie doesn't want to deal with Jimmy Butler. When they take Kevin Durant and they get real physical with Durant, Durant gets frustrated. I want to see James Harden now not be the player he was with the Rockets when Chris Paul literally looked at him with the gas face like, this is you, dude? Like, it's winning time and this is what I'm getting from you? Right? I'm playing with a bad hammy and this is you? Right? That's what I want to see, because I think what's left for Harden is those moments now that Steph Curry has had, that KD has had, that LeBron has had, Dwayne Wade's had them. The greats have those moments in winning time, and I'm talking about conference finals and NBA finals. Then you're right. Then you start putting them in the pantheon of all-time greats.
I mean, listen, he's on his way, and I think let's consider who he would have to go through to get that championship. You know, this is going to be a final where it could be LeBron James matched up on him or Kawhi Leonard matched up on him.
Yeah, I still think now with AD being compromised, I think the Clippers now suddenly become
But I'm just saying it's going to be a great defender, great player on him he's going to have that moment. And every player, I remember when I was playing, I always loved that. On ESPN, I wanted to wait for Boomer to call me out. He could go all the or whoop or boom. Like, I'm sure James Harden is just living for bang. That's all he want to hear. Bang.
One Mike Breen bang?
Yeah.
A double bang. If he, like, see, for Mike Breen, the rare double bang.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's a big shot.
Exactly.
Like, Mike Breen, he'll give you Harden way downtown, bang! Like, that's, that's great. But when he gives you the bang, bang, like, he's so excited, he's got to say it twice. Oh, that's a big shot. No doubt. No doubt about that. Now, as we're talking about Brooklyn James, the Nets have a tough schedule coming out. They're playing some tough teams. I just showed it on ESPN+. Plus. The tough schedule that's ahead as they're on that West Coast road trip right now. But the next game's tomorrow night against LeBron James and the Lakers. And so, of course, now the conversation, because we have to ask LeBron everything about what's going on in the league, the question was asked to LeBron about the Nets' big three, which should, by the way, should, as long as KD's hamstring's all right, be together for only the 10th time on the court this season against the Lakers Thursday night in L.A. So LeBron, of course, was asked, like, you know, do you think this Nets big three might be the most prolific big three in NBA history? And LeBron gave this response.
Have we forgot about KD, Steph, and Clay already?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
But there you go. There you go right there.
Is there any excitement about facing a new challenge?
Well, it's always exciting for me to go against you know, some of the best guys in the game, and they got three of them. They got three of the best guys in the game. You know, definitely love to be full when you're playing against a team like that and see, you know, like at that point in the season where you match up, how you match up against some of the best teams in the league. And obviously we won't be full on Thursday. So, but other than that, yeah, I love going out there and just, you know, being out on the floor with some of the best that play this game.
Bart, did you catch that?
Yep.
What did he do?
We won't be full. Quit deflecting. Like, I mean, does it matter? You're the best of all time. You got it. It's not like you out there with straight scrubs. You got people out there that can ball. You still got, you know, willing participants on the other side. Don't give me that.
Like, well, I mean, Anthony Davis is still a big piece to be missing in a matchup like that.
He is, but like, I don't respect excuses from LeBron. But he subtly drops it in so he can kind of give you an excuse. Like, stop. You know what I think when I look at this? When I look at this Brooklyn team, it reminds me so much of what we just witnessed with Tampa Tom. And, you know, pieces coming in and just going – pieces added and great pieces added, but not really being able to get together to be able to get the chemistry that they need. And I feel like they'll hit their stride around the playoffs. And maybe that first series would be a little funky. They might drop a game that they're not supposed to drop. But once they get rolling, I think they're going to peak at the right time. And who knows if they're going to go out and maybe get Andre Drummond or get somebody – you know, that they can add some size and some rebounding and some defense, because you're going to need a great help defender. I mean, I think that, you know, maybe a guy like, you know, McGee, if McGee was available from the Cavs, that gives them that little springy guy that can come help, and you don't have to run offense for tip-ins, run the court, you know, especially with guys
I get that. I still think P.J. Tucker, because it then allows them to play small, with a guy that can stretch because he can shoot a three occasionally, but he also he's not afraid to mix it up in the paint when the other team tries to go big. Like, again, Embiid, if they go
that's
way.
That's a big worry, right?
Like, that's – I think to me, P.J. Tucker would be such a – and also, well, the one thing that the Nets are lacking is sandpaper. They're lacking that – they're lacking you, Bart Scott.
Well,
they need the Mad Backer. What they need. They need a little bit of grit and grind.
Who's the guy that got Mon Shumpert that they expect? Wait, who knows?
Yeah, they'll try to
like
get him healthy.
Hamstring helper. And then who's the kid, Andre, the kid from Oklahoma?
Oh, Roberson, they just added as well.
Yeah, Roberson.
Yeah.
You know, who
who's
knows?
A good defensive player. Can knock down an occasional three. They're trying to add, though you could see it, they're trying to add that type to the second unit. You know, Bruce Brown can defend, too. I mean, he's also a guy that can get after you defensively. But that second unit, you worry about how much do you lose offensively. But you don't need it because the big three are going to provide so much. I just feel like the best fit for them, if they can make the trade, which they've got nothing left, really, to think about it, the trade, would be to try to figure out how to get P.J. Tucker from the Rockets. That's what I would try to do. But we'll see where that goes from there. Can we sneak a couple of calls in here? Because we're getting some calls on this, and I love it.
Please.
Let's begin. Let's see. Let's begin with Robert in Virginia. Go ahead, Robert.
30 seconds, go.
Yes, sir. I totally agree with you. And, you know, I think Harden is really being very unselfish, and he's really looking to pass versus scoring. And I didn't like his game in Houston, but I love what he's doing now. And I think they're a great fit together. And
it's so true.
It pays to play with your friends, right? It pays to play with your friends.
We
thought Russell Westbrook was his friends, but it turned out they weren't great friends.
And Chris Paul clearly wasn't his friend. Yeah, Robert, thank you for the call. That's kind of my point is, and I said this about the Knicks as well, there's something about familiarity. There's something about trust. They spent a lot of time in the offseason together. They were working out together. Yep. It's something they wanted. It's like LeBron and Wade. This is what they wanted, so they know. They have the accountability. We've got to make this work because we wanted this, and you don't want it to fail, because if it does, I mean, that you live with that forever. Like, you guys put this thing together, and it was a disaster.
They've taken ownership of it. They got the coach they wanted. Got the players. And when you take ownership of it, you're going to go down with the ship. You're not abandoning ship. I tell you what, man. I hope the callers hold on and they light us up when we get back. Tell them don't go nowhere, Allen. Tell them we'll be right back, but we got to pay the damn bills. And I know it's going to be a long break, but go get some food, make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and come back and entertain us. Because we want to hear from them.
Keep us on. Keep us on. We'll keep you on. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. This President's Day, Dell honors all you do with up to $300 off their latest tech like XPS and Alienware systems with Intel Core processors and top electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Call 800-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/President's Day. That's 800-BUY-DELL. Like the man said, stay on hold. We got your calls. We're going to get you, get you part of the conversation. And by the way, as we're talking about LeBron and the older players and the great players, did you watch Zion last night? I posted his shot chart from his 31-point performance last night against the Grizzlies. I posted it on Twitter.
If you haven't seen it yet,
go to my Twitter, at Alan Hahn. It is downright disrespectful. And, of course, the question is, how do you stop him? We'll discuss that as well. Your calls. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
I'm Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app. Yes, Matt Speaker. I guess everybody liked Richie from Middle Village yesterday when we had him on as a guest. So, Bart, we might have to bring Richie back at some point when we're talking Knicks, right?
Come on in, Richie.
And then also, we didn't get a lot of reaction, though, if you remember. Remember when we had the guy, Buck White?
Yeah, what happened?
We had
Buck
him
White?
On from the Good Old Days podcast.
We got to bring Buck White back.
Yeah, Buck White needs to come back too.
We should bring Buck White back when we bring
Buck White. Only talks football though.
Yeah, when we bring Feinbaum in, we should bring. Buck White in.
I think he calls on Feinbaum show probably all the time.
Yeah,
and Buck White doesn't call it football; he calls it ball. He's only ball. That's all. We just call it ball.
Does he call it foosball?
Son, we call it ball. That's what we call it.
Playing that foosball, Bobby Boucher.
Playing that foosball. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So before we get to a couple of calls, I just want to mention Zion Williamson last night went for 31 in a blowout. I mean, the Pelicans, 144-113 over the Grizzlies. And Zion he was 13 of 16 from the field. You understand he took 1-3, right?
He hit it, too.
His shot chart, we're showing it on Plus right now. It's hysterical. ESPN Plus has it up. Dude, his 1-3 made, he was 1-for-1, is the only shot outside the paint. And every shot except for one, all right? So 13 of 16. So 12 of 15 were inside the paint, and 11 of 14 were in the restricted area at the rim.
Was he like Wilt Chamberlain before they put the three second rule in? Was he just posted up in there? Or was he just slicing in there?
I mean, and they were playing him one on one, which is hilarious, man.
And you know what's crazy to me?
They had slow mo guarding him, which is like, I mean, Dylan, like, just you got, like, can we get a double? I'd be screaming for a double. Like, I can't. And then he's up on him as if he's a 3-point threat. You know, playing Zion, like, take the three.
He don't have a floater. You know what's crazy? That they continue to allow him to get to his left hand.
Yeah,
no matter what, they allow him to get, like, yo,
I think when he gets that first dribble down, he's got quick feet. And that's it. He's Bo Jackson in Tecmo.
Yeah.
When he gets the one dribble down, he's Bo Jackson in Tecmo.
You allow him to spin. He got the Julius Randle spin, but he got so much behind him and so quick with it. Like, Julius Randle, you'd be like, man, come on, man. You still ain't turned around yet. Okay, right, bet.
Nah, I'm telling you, like Zion had a great game, like, stat-wise, when you look at it, and they had a big win. But when you watch him, I'm still waiting for the Zion is going to take over the league thing.
Is he justified? Is it justified?
It's a good player, but I'm just like the Pelicans are 12-15.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he's in his second year. I mean, wasn't Luka doing a lot more in year two than Zion's doing this year?
No, when I say justified, I'm saying, is he justified? Would you still take him over Ja Morant with what we know now?
Ja Morant went for 28 last night in the game, 28-8.
But. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm talking about? Because you talk about who game got longevity.
It's a great question. And the point guard's always the most important piece, right? But I'm just looking at Zion, and I still am trying to figure out. And I said it going into the draft, this guy's special. He's just going to be special. You get him in the right circumstance, put the right players with him, he could really be special. But I don't know if it's LeBron special, like a lot of people. It could be Blake Griffin special.
Yeah, that's what I
think. And that's not disrespectful. Blake Griffin was great before his legs gave out on him.
So what's the ceiling? Can he be Dominique Wilkins special?
And that ain't disrespectful either, by the way. Neek was a hell of a player.
I'm saying disrespectful to Dominique. Hold on, let's switch that up.
It's a fair question. He's still young, obviously. He's 20. Like,
he got to get out.
He
got to get out of New Orleans, man. He got.
You think
get out
so? Why? Why has he got to get out of there?
I just don't like him there, man. I think he needs to go somewhere.
He was on national TV last night.
Stan Van Gundy. Yeah, I mean, they love him, right? They open up the playoffs so that he can get in, right?
Good point.
They did all that last year. They want to make him the star. But I just don't know if that organization is equipped to be able to handle a superstar. We saw that they wasted Anthony Davis. They wasted Chris Paul. You know, and will Zion be the third superstar that wastes away there?
Well, Lonzo Ball's already on
the trading block,
on the market, looking to move him. And I love the way he passed the basketball.
You would think with what they have,
Ingram is a really good, like, Ingram is a step below star.
Yeah,
right. Ingram's one of those guys who's just a really, really good player, but I wouldn't put him in. I wouldn't put him on the top floor.
He could be Sean Livingston. He could be Sean Livingston. I'm just playing, man.
I don't know.
I'm just talking. They're both tall and skinny, man. I'm trying my best.
Yeah, I know. You're doing the who he look like game. Let's let's grab a couple of calls here. Let me see. Let's go to Noah in Illinois. Noah. Is Noah there?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Noah?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys?
All right.
Maintain. I need a deep dish and I need a Chicago-style hot dog, some pit beef.
So my thing was, we were talking about the Nets before break. When you match up what the Nets have right now, and obviously they need to work on defense, they need to get somebody there. But you put them against a team in the West. Obviously the Lakers are the team you're going to compare them to. Whether or not, you know, you got AD, you've got LeBron versus, I mean, those are the two best players there, obviously. The two that match up as superstar caliber players on the Lakers. And you have them matching up with Kyrie, Harden, and Durant, who have three very talented players. You know, they might scratch. I mean, the two versus the three there, that might scratch. Defensively, I think the Lakers have the edge on them. But when it comes down to it, in the playoffs, they don't have a bench. The Lakers have one of the best benches, in my opinion, in the NBA right now. What could the Nets do to even come close to that? They have nothing to trade or nothing to offer for that.
But they have two slots, right, Allen? And they can get somebody that's on a buyout?
That's what they're hoping to do, yeah. They're hoping to be able to make that room. They are adding some pieces to try to improve it. But the only argument I'll make to that, and you're not wrong, the Lakers improved their bench this year. There's no doubt about it, and they have that continuity as well with that group. They have guys who can come in and score. But when we get to the playoffs, especially when you get to the conference finals, benches aren't playing as much as they're playing the regular season. Your main guys are carrying 38, 42 minutes in the postseason, especially when you get late. You still need your benches. You still need that bridge between the first quarter and second quarter. You still need that bridge end of the third, going into the fourth. You still need that to at least, if anything, maintain your lead or don't allow the deficit to grow. So your bench can't be that bad. But I still think it's a bit overrated to talk about how great a bench is versus another when one team has three stars. And I can play, I can have it where, all right, I'll take Kyrie out early and it's James and KD. Mm-hmm. Then I'll take KD out and it'll be Kyrie and James. Then I'll take James out and then it's Kyrie and KD. See what I mean? You can keep, you can rest all three at certain points of the game and still have two on the court. That's the part to me that really stands out about this group, about having those three. And that certainly is when you have big threes, that's what they try to do. So clearly, Bart, I just feel like the Nets are in a great place. They do want to make their bench a little bit better. But I wouldn't say matchup-wise is any team that I'd worry about. What you worry about is physicality against some matchups on the way to the finals. That's the part. Can teams play physical against them? Because you know they're not going to like that. Barton Hama brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We're doing breaking moves. Some news out of Carolina about how much they are willing to give up for Deshaun Watson. The question is it enough for Houston? We will discuss. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
On ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And while we're talking about, or we'll be talking about, Deshaun Watson, you remember, Bart, the other day when we were talking about Deshaun and possibly coming to the Jets, and I said, like you said, oh, they'll be naming sandwiches after him, and I said, I guarantee you at Cat's Deli, Cat's Deli will definitely name a sandwich after him. Well, Jake Dell, the owner of Cat's Deli, is calling in right now. And Jake, it's great to talk to you. Can you confirm that if Deshaun Watson, you being a big Jets fan, if Deshaun Watson came to New York, can we just confirm it right now, put it out there in the world, that yes, there will be a Deshaun Watson sandwich at Katz's Deli?
How you doing? Thanks for having me on. Listen, we've never named a sandwich after anyone. I think it's a bit of a stretch, and let's not get too excited. You know, first we got to get him here, and then we got to do something, you know, and we got to win some games. But if we make a run in the playoffs, maybe we get a Super Bowl win out of it, you know, maybe we can talk about that. But, 130 years, don't really name that many sandwiches after people.
But if we get him, but if he gets here, but we got to get him here first. Now, you can discontinue the sandwich. It can be a limited run sandwich, right? It can be a sandwich.
Anything's on the table. Let's first get him here. Let's see what happens. If it helps, I'll send him some food. Am I allowed to do that?
I could ship him some food.
I don't think you fall
underneath the tampering rules. I think it's
no,
all
not
good.
At all. I think we tamper all we can.
Yeah, we're civilians right now. Listen, I love the pastrami. Since the pandemic, I've probably been there at least 10 times. Like I'm always sliding in there when I was working on SNY, I ordered it for everybody. So I know how lethal it is. I think if you get them some, I think that could push them over the top. Mm. Listen, we don't have a beach like Miami to give them. You know what I mean? At least not one that he can jump in right now. But I'm telling you, nutrition is everything.
So you think we should go with pastrami or corned beef? We got a Taste of New York package send them, I guess.
Well, the pastrami, like the pastrami is a little bit more fire than the corned beef. I love the corned beef. I love me a good Reuben, but I love me the pastrami got a little bit, just a little in it. That little crust on the top, that little dark crust.
That'll win them over. I think that'll win them over.
Now listen, what if we get Bradley Beal here too for the Knicks? Can Bradley Beal get a limited?
Now we're talking. Can
we get a limited sandwich for that? I mean, but would you be willing to give up Julius Randle and a month's supply of corned beef to Washington?
All right, it's a lot of a month's supply. We're talking. We go through about 15,000 to 20,000 pounds of pastrami a week. So it's a lot of meat there. I don't know if I could do a whole month's supply there.
Okay.
Wow. All right. We're talking with Jake.
But I'll beat him for a month. How about that?
Yeah. From Katz's Deli, the legendary Lower East Side eatery, just as you mentioned, over 130 years in New York City, and Jake being a big Jets and Knicks fan, as you can probably hear. But Jake, just before we let you go, and it's always fun to talk to you, just tell us how things have been, as we know, through this pandemic. Businesses in New York City and really all around the country have had to shut down, have had to, you know, lay off employees. This has had to have been such a difficult time for a place that has been around for well over a century to experience this through with your family. Like, how has this been, and are we seeing maybe a light at the end of the tunnel finally in New York?
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it has been it's been an interesting year, to say the least. But we've been lucky. You know, we definitely switched gears pretty early on in the pandemic and focused on our website, focused on local delivery and on shipping and on all these other ways, you know, nationwide to all 50 states, and teaching busboys and dishwashers how to pack mustards and pickles, you know, things like that. And the result is we haven't had to lay anyone off. You know, we're wow. grateful for that. And we're, all things considered, we made it through 2020. You know, it wasn't our first pandemic. Hopefully it's our last. But all you can do is just take it one day at a time.
It's amazing that he said it wasn't the first pandemic. That's how long wow. Katz's Deli has been around. As you know, New York and the country went through one 100 years ago.
Well, Katz is Jake, responsible for my COVID 15 pounds. I'm blaming it on them, but it's okay. It's okay.
I'll tell you, when we are comfort, when,
it was comfort Bart, food for me. It was comfort
when
food.
When Bart and I are allowed back in into studio together, we won't be far from your deli, and I promise
you. I'll send
we
you guys some
there.
Food for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and we will be there as regulars. There's no doubt about it. Jake, great catching up with you, my man. Hope we get to see
Likewise.
You soon at the Garden.
And
be
I hope
well.
We got two limited sandwiches coming
because
we have Bradley Beal and
wait.
Deshaun Watson.
Oh,
that's 10
he
cents
said,
off.
Can't wait.
I got 10
he
cents
said,
off.
Can't wait.
10 cents off my pastrami sandwich.
All right. Thank you, Jake. That was a lot of fun. I like Jake. Jake's a great guy. And what Katz has been through and a lot of the New York City eateries have been through. And again, it's not just New York. Obviously, it's all around the country.
Right.
But he did say there was a chance, Deshaun, a chance.
A limited,
they would
a limited
break,
run.
They
a limited
would
run.
Break, they would break protocol and Man. Actually name a sandwich.
Yogi Bear,
you.
Derek Jeter. Like, I mean, the name.
Yeah, very
if
rare.
You want to get your sandwich, man, that's worth that's worth his price.
So let's do breaking moves here real quick. All right, Bart, we only have about 45 seconds here, so a quick answer to you. As on NFL Live yesterday, okay, NFL insider David Newton, who covers the Carolina Panthers, said the Panthers will do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson, includes giving up 3 first-round picks and Christian McCaffrey. David Tepper wants the Super Bowl. He wants this.
I mean, that
is that a lot? Is that too much?
I believe that is too much. You talk about McCaffrey, you know, being responsible for almost 65% of the Panthers' offense. Yeah, he was hurt last year, and they flirted with Mike Davis, and he was a cute little story. But come on, man, McCaffrey is so much more than just a running back. He's a receiver. He is so dynamic, and to lose a player like that. And also, if I'm Christian McCaffrey, now that that's out there, I'm not even going to show up. Y'all
right.
disrespecting
well,
me.
We'll continue this conversation and more coming up next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hunt Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hunt weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hunt, the podcast.